welcome you here tonight. Good to see each one of you. Thank you for coming out to our evening service. And we want to welcome Grant Margraf here visiting with us tonight. He is Ron Margraf's oldest son, the oldest Margraf child, I believe, firstborn. So we're happy to have him here with us today. We'll open it up for testimonies in a few moments, and Andrew has the mic. We'll pass that around if you have any testimonies, and maybe you have some Thanksgiving testimonies you didn't get to give. What are you thankful for? We can have those again tonight, so we'll open it up in a few moments. A couple other announcements. Again, just a reminder, we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Invite you to come out for prayer or join us on the phone. And just let me know if you want to join us on the phone, just a few minutes in advance. I'll bring you in. And then Thursday, we have some time for outreach in our community, Thursday afternoons, 3:30 to 5. And then Friday, there's a youth activity for grades 6 through 12. It's going to be a bowling activity at Trio Lanes in Fredericktown, 4 to 7 p.m., and see the Finnerins for details. If they could bring $15, that's going to cover the bowling and the pizza as well. So that's for both. Anything else I need to add about that?
The parents will be dropping their teens off at the lane there.
It'll all be at Trio Lanes in Fredericktown. So drop off and pick up at Trio Lanes. All right. And we do want to praise the Lord for the about $3,000 that has come in for the thank offering. And so there is still opportunity to give towards that. If you were not able to, again, that's going towards the OBF camping program. That fund is expecting a shortfall this year, about $8,000. And so we decided to give the thank offering this year to that, to try to help make up that. And so you can still give towards that. Then getting into Christmas, we usually take up a collection of food items. And you may have noticed in the foyer underneath the coat racks there are some boxes. So if you'd like to bring in some non-perishable food items for a food collection, we usually get that together and then give that to somebody. So if you have any suggestions about that, who would that go to, you can let me know. But we are taking that food collection up as well. And then as we get into December here, again, the ladies are planning to have a Women's Ministry Fellowship Christmas Fellowship on Tuesday, December 13th at 7 p.m. That'll be here at the church. Then on December 18th, that's a Sunday, we're planning to have a candlelight service at 6:30 p.m. And we are getting some things ready for that with our young people. And then we'll have candlelights at the end, holding candles, singing around the church. That will be how it ends anyway. Then Christmas caroling. We're planning to go Christmas caroling December 21st, Wednesday, 6 to 9 p.m. We have a little bit of a different plan for that this year. Going to be doing kind of a one-stop caroling location, at least one, maybe two one-stop caroling locations. And one that is confirmed is Colonial Terrace, where the Greens live. And so we'll be going there, getting out, being able to walk the neighborhood there and carol to some different folks. And we may have another location that we go to as well, but going to try that this year. And then December 25th is Christmas Sunday. We're planning one service, 10:45 a.m. and no Sunday school or evening service. Then the next Sunday is January 1st, New Year's Day, and we are planning to show a documentary pulled from The Burning during the Sunday school hour, and then we'll have a morning worship service followed by a potluck lunch there on New Year's Day, and not planning an evening service on New Year's Day. And so that takes us through December, Lord willing. Of course, the Lord may have different plans, but that is what we're planning on right now. All right. I think that's all the announcements I have now. So we'll have a favorite. Anybody have a favorite? Or maybe you're ready with a testimony. We'll do a favorite or a testimony at this time. So would anybody? Okay. Okay. We'll get the mic over there to Grant Margrath.
So I recounted a little story to the two men who greeted me on the way in, and that story has to do with my wife, who was sick at the beginning of this week and really was sick all week long. This was the week that we took off for homeschool and had no lessons with the kids to do, and so we had a bunch of fun stuff planned, and none of that fun stuff got done because of the sickness. And one of my children even fell a little bit ill. And so last night, we had already missed one Thanksgiving, and we didn't want to miss the next Thanksgiving with my family. And so we prayed as a family that my wife and my youngest child would feel good enough and be healthy enough to come today. And the Lord blessed, and we were able to come to Thanksgiving. So I just wanted to give that testimony of praise to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. So the Margrath Thanksgiving was today. Is today, maybe. Still going on.
Still going on.
So, thank you for sharing that. Okay, anybody? Favorite or testimony? Mrs. Lewis. Sure, sure. Favorite?
Be on your handout on the other side. To live or die.
Anybody else with a testimony tonight? Give you the mic. Mr. Margrath.
Well, it's difficult for me to say how thankful I am that all 25 of my family that was there today is there right now, except for Grant and I. And it's a blessing for us to be able to get together. We actually had a dry garage, or at least mostly dry. Andrew and Laura dried up the rest for us. And so it's a little bit of a story I won't tell you. But anyway, we had a nice setting and a nice meal. And everybody was, I think, enjoyed themselves. We had plenty of food. And I gave a few verses beforehand from Philippians chapter 4 about being thankful in everything and taking everything into prayer before God. And then also I skipped over to Revelation chapter 4 when the elders were falling down at their knees before the throne of God, singing praises and thanksgiving. And one of the elders asked John, "Who are these who are dressed in white robes?" And, of course, they were the ones that come out of the tribulation. And they suffered through the tribulation, which is yet to come, as we believe. And they had a rough time, but yet they were thankful. And they gave their lives to Christ throughout that most difficult time. And they were patiently waiting. And they were given white robes as they waited. And you know, we might not have a good future ahead of us. We don't know how long the Lord will tarry. But I'm thankful that we were able to get together today. And I pray that the Lord will give us strength to tarry on and remain faithful to Him.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? You have a testimony or favorite tonight? Pastor Gossman.
Well, we weren't here for the thanks service being out in Colorado. We thank you for your prayers and thank the Lord for safety. As we think over the things we should be thankful for, we thank the Lord for those things that the Lord has provided, and yet we recognize that those could all be gone overnight. But those things that are spiritual, those things that are forever, we rejoice in what we have in Christ. And I just thank the Lord for the assembly here, for a good church where we can go and learn and feel one with the ones. Ones I've talked to a number in recent days, some that have searched for a place where they really feel like the word is honored, and we live in a day of apostasy when churches that were good aren't anymore, and it's harder to find for some. It hasn't been hard for us. It's been nice. We've been able just to come, you know. But what a blessing to have those spiritual blessings, things that can't be taken away. And I haven't had much contact here with Grant but we've had a couple occasions to talk over the last couple years. I think of the scripture just rejoicing that our children walk in the truth. And Grant was one of the young people in our church, and just to see his conviction and desiring to serve the Lord and following. That's a blessing to each of us when we see those that are continuing on and really seeking to please the Lord with their lives and living by faith. And so we have much to be thankful for our congregation, for those saints, and much to pray for in these days that we live too. So.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Do you have a favorite? Anybody got a favorite yet? or a testimony? See some people looking through a hymnal, so that's a good sign. Mrs. Ray? 334. All right.
I have to look in the index for that one. I'm not sure what that one is. 334. Be thou my vision.
Anybody else tonight? Any other testimonies? Anything else? Or a favorite? We do another favorite? Mrs. Gossman? 333. Okay. Hope you didn't close your book.
333. May the mind of Christ my Savior. 333.
Thank you. there too.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a good one too.
Yeah?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take our Bibles now and we'll look into God's Word.
In 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We are going through 1 Samuel on Sunday nights. It's been several weeks. And with the Christmas coming up, we're going to kind of change gears here. Starting next Sunday night, we're going to be looking at kind of a Christmas series. And so we'll continue, pick up 1 Samuel again, maybe next year, I think, if my plans are go as planned. But next week, we'll be starting in to look at some presents that we find in the Bible. And the emphasis is going to be, what can I give Him? What can I give the Lord? And we look in the Bible, we see many different characters and gifts that were given. And we can learn a lot from that as we see those. And so we're going to kind of change gears next week. But tonight, 1 Samuel 27, and just to review where we've been since it's been a few weeks, here in 1 Samuel, in this section, we find David is anointed as king, but yet he's on the run for his life. We find David in the wilderness, and David is running from Saul from place to place, and he is running for a period of perhaps 10 years. He's in this state of wandering in the wilderness, so to speak. And starting back in chapter 20, we saw that David recognized he needed to flee from Saul. David and his friend Jonathan, Saul's son, proposed a test whereby they determined Saul's attitude, which was very negative. And David saw that he could not stay in the king's court any longer. He was not safe. And so in chapter 21, David flees to the city of Nob and he finds help from Ahimelech, where he was given the showbread from the tabernacle there and also Goliath's sword. And in chapter 22, we saw David's faithfulness even while he's hiding out in the cave of Adullam, Saul's wickedness and injustice in completely killing the city of Nob and 85 priests. In chapter 23, we saw God helping David with strength to help others even during this time. And Jonathan comes and encourages him, and God protects David from his enemies even when all appeared lost. Chapter 24, we saw David overcoming a tempting opportunity to get revenge on Saul when he just happened to be in the same cave as Saul. He had the perfect opportunity to kill Saul, and God protected him from doing that. And then in chapter 25, we saw how there were different dangers David faced. He was in danger from Saul, but also a foolish man like Nabal provoked him. And God protected David from responding in foolishness, and he waited, and God brought revenge on Nabal and sent him to have a stroke, and he died. And then David married Abigail. And then last time we were in chapter 26, we saw how David faced the very same temptation that he had faced earlier. He had another perfect opportunity to kill Saul, but he did not, even though others were encouraging him to do so. And now we come here to chapter 27, and we see that there was repetition in David's experience. We saw that already. He faces the same kinds of temptation over again. Well, that's true in this chapter as well. David flees to the Philistines. Remember that he had done that before. Back in 1 Samuel 21, he had fled to the Philistines. Remember, he changed his behavior. He pretended to be insane. And the king of the Philistines said, "I don't need any insane people. Get out of here." And David was able to be spared that time. So we see David going to the Philistines here. Let's look at 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. "And David said in his heart, 'I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, Whither have ye made a road today? David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So David did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. I'll read the first two verses of chapter 28. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. So we see David's decision to go to the Philistines again. I want you to see the causes of David's decision here tonight. And then secondly, we'll look at the results of David's decision. Notice the causes. First of all, discouragement. Discouragement. If you look back at verse 1 again, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I think we can safely say that David faced some discouragement at this point in time. And we can understand that in a way, because David was being constantly chased by Saul. He was constantly in danger of losing his life. And so I think it seems that that got to him. And you can understand how that would get to him. Someone who's under that constant attack, pressure, it can be very easy to give in to discouragement. And, you know, as we think about that, we need to be careful of that ourselves. We've got to be careful of falling into discouragement. Elijah, 1 Kings 19, remember him. He was being chased by Jezebel, and he had just gotten a great victory through the Lord. Then we find him, and he is despairing of his life. Moses faced the same thing in his experience. And so I think we need to expect that we're going to feel some discouragement at different points in our life. And I think if we can expect it, we might be a little more prepared to overcome it if we expect it. But we should not be controlled by it. And maybe we need to remember those who did suffer, but in their endurance, they glorified God. Many different examples, but I think the greatest example of that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered greatly. In John 12:27, it says that Jesus said, Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And so if we can somehow get a hold of that, that we can glorify God in a time when we feel under pressure, when we feel overwhelmed at discouragement, we can bring glory to God if we don't give in to that. And so I think David faced some of that, and that was part of the cause of his decision. He was discouraged. And I would also point out here, as we look at the flow of this story in 1 Samuel, we see that God is going to reverse the situation very soon. When we come to chapter 28, we find the beginning of Saul's ultimate downfall. His end is soon here in 1 Samuel 28. He visits the witch at Endor, and it is chapter 31. He dies in battle, and he's gone. He's off the scene. Well, here is David, very close to that in time, although he doesn't know that. And God is going to reverse the situation. So, we can learn from that we may be in a situation we feel discouraged, but we don't know the future, and it may be that God will reverse that situation. And so I think the lesson is, don't give up. Don't give up. Look at what God can do in a very short amount of time. And then a second cause of David's decision, first, discouragement. Second, we could say that he lost a vision of God's faithfulness. Notice he says again in verse 1, there's nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Was that really true? David, in reality, had every reason to stay in the land and to trust God for provision and protection. Even in the very last verse of 1 Samuel 26, Saul had admitted that David would be king. David was anointed by God to be the next king. And David, over and over again, had experienced the faithfulness of God. God being faithful to protect him at every turn. I just reviewed, 7 chapters for you at the beginning of this message of all the ways that God delivered David, beginning in chapter 20. And it seems that somehow David forgot about that. He lost that vision of God's faithfulness to him. And he sees, well, there's no way God can deliver me here. I'm going to have to go to the Philistines. Maybe he let fear overcome him. But we see here how this failure can affect even the best of men. And that's true for all of us here tonight. No matter where we're at in our Christian walk, all of us can be susceptible to forgetting what God has done for us. We can all do it. This season of Thanksgiving, we've just come through and we've heard the different ways that God has been faithful to us, and that's good. And what we need to do is somehow continue that. We need to somehow write it down, so that we have a record of it, so that when we get in times like this, we can go back and review and not forget how God has been faithful to us, how He's been steadfast, and He's not given up on us. And, if we can do that, we can recover our vision of God's faithfulness. That's what David was forgetting here. And that's what seemed to lead him into making this decision. And then a third cause of his decision is listening to his heart. Notice David, in verse 1, it says, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. We notice here that David is speaking only to himself. No prophet is speaking to David. God isn't saying that to David. Who's saying it? David is saying it to David. His heart. He's listening to his heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We would like to see David do like he did at other times in his life and seek the Lord's will. Back in chapter 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" The Lord said unto David, "Go." You know, you would like to see David seeking the Lord's will and praying, and what does the Lord want him to do? But we just see him listening to his heart. And so we need to make sure that we don't just listen to our heart. We need to make sure that we are not just trusting our own heart. We may be discouraged. Maybe part of that is because we're just listening to our own heart. We don't always get good advice from our hearts. Don't follow your heart. That's the Disney advice. Disney movie advice. Follow your heart. Don't do that. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Serve the Lord. Do His will. Search out His will. What does God want me to do? Am I pleasing the Lord? Is that my goal in this? Or am I following my heart? Am I listening to myself? So we see the causes of David's decision. Let's see the results now. First result is it seemed to result in success. We see here, as we've read, David found a place for his 600 men and two wives. That would be significant. Saul stopped chasing him. Verse 4. David was given a place to live for 16 months. He was given a city, Ziklag. He saw that it wasn't good for him maybe to be in the same city with the king of the Philistines, so he asked for a different place to go. King gives him a city, Ziklag. And from Ziklag, we're told how David carried out successful attacks against God's enemies, verses 8 through 12. He conquers these enemies of old. He fools Achish into thinking he was attacking Israel. He tells Achish, I'm attacking Judah, these other cities. Achish believes him. He thinks that's good. He thinks, you know, maybe David is at odds with his people now, and he's kind of on our side, which he was. There were no survivors who could tell what was really going on. And so it seemed to result in success. It seemed like this was good. David had made this decision to go live with the Philistines. This seems like it's good. But we need to remember in our own lives, if we were to make decisions like this, that apparent success is not necessarily the indicator of a decision that's pleasing to the Lord. We may have made a decision and, okay, financially, things are a lot better. But that's not necessarily an indicator that we're doing the right thing. It's apparent success. You know, we saw in Sunday school this morning how that the Bible tells us that the wicked often prosper. And the psalmist, Psalm 37, 73, why do the wicked prosper? The wicked are prospering. Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The rich man was prospering in his life. Lazarus was poor. But then they died. And we can see the real evaluation. The rich man is in hell. He's burning in hell. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom there in Luke 16. So we can't judge spirituality only by these outward marks. It seemed to result in success. The result there. But notice another result, the consequence. In chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it led David to a compromised position. Here we see in chapter 28, the Philistines decide to go and fight with Israel. It came to pass, verse 1 of 28, in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And so David now is in a difficult position. He is being invited to go and attack Israel. He lives with the Philistines. They're attacking Israel. And we see ultimately God brings him out of this. But he was conflicted here. And that's a consequence of his decision. He was now forced with this difficult issue here. And this is something that can happen to believers today. We, as believers, can make decisions that are outside the will of God. They may seem to have success for us initially, but they can have consequences like that. And one consequence can be that they put believers in direct conflict with other Christians. That's what was happening to David here. He found himself, because of his decision, on the side of the enemy. That's something that can happen today. And we don't want to have that in our lives. We don't want to suddenly find ourselves, whoa, I'm on the wrong side here. I don't want to be on this side. But because of that decision I made, I am on this side. That's what David was involved with here. And I think if there are Christians that suddenly find themselves on the wrong side, they need to examine how they got there. How did they get there? Why are they suddenly in conflict with other believers? Why are they suddenly on the side of the enemy? There's consequences to decisions that we make. So, we may face the same temptation again. That's one thing that we learned from David's life. We saw that earlier with his being tempted to kill Saul two times. We may face the same temptation. We see this with David being tempted to go to the Philistines. He had done that before. Now he does it again. Both times it wasn't good. And we've got to recognize in our lives that we may see the same things come up again. And we've got to be prepared for that. And we've got to pray, Lord, help me. Lead me not into temptation. Just because I've overcome one temptation in my life, I've gotten past that, I've gotten victory over that, that may come back around again in a similar form. And so we've got to be prepared. And we've got to ask God for help. And He can give that to us. And one of the ways He gives that to us is through His Word and the example that we find here tonight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and we do pray that You would keep us from discouragement. We know that we'll face it. Even the best of men face it. And we're going to face it too. And so we pray that You would give us the endurance, the strength, the confidence in You. We thank You that You are a faithful God, that all of us here tonight can look back on our lives and see the ways that You've delivered us, that You've been faithful to us, even when we have been unfaithful, we've been changeable, but You're faithful. And that's true for us today, even as we go forward. And so we pray that You would give us that vision of Your faithfulness that we need to be able to overcome temptation and doubt and despair. And we thank You for the example of David. Please lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, even these same evils that we've seen again, that we may see again in the future. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll sing one last song. Number 289, Does Jesus Care? Hymn number 289. Let's all stand as we sing hymn number 289, Does Jesus Care? Thank you.
Thank you all for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.